Of Zion Tishrei, Tuesday the 21st of October, Rabbi Gedalia Lieberman, Sensors and Fridge Lights on Shabbos. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Wegg, Lichvod Simchas Hanusum of Baruch Wegg and Brandy Adler. The Simcha takes place today, Mitzvah Shem.
Good morning. I'd like to begin the share. I'd like to open up with a shaila that happened in a sukkah. Actually, not this past Sukkot, but rather Sukkot last year, Sukkot a year ago. And I want to say before I start that the purpose of the shiur isn't so much to answer the shaila, rather through the lens of the shaila to be able to get a bit of an appreciation for some of the yesodos in Hilchos Shabbos. I was asked to speak about Hilchos Shabbos. Last year Sukkot, I was fortunate enough to spend Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael by my parents-in-law. There's an expression, the grass is green on the other side. Apparently, when you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to London, it takes on a more literal meaning. It seems the grass in London is much greener than it is in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed over here with an abundance of rain. And one of the upsides, besides the farmers have a parnosa, is that the grass is much greener. In Eretz Yisrael, where they struggle with rain, the grass is very often a little brown, yellow, it's not as green. Now, once again, my parents-in-law's house, they had to build a sukkah. There was, Baruch Hashem, it's a big family. A sukkah for a lot of people. And they have outside a patch of grass where they wanted to build the sukkah. And they wanted the sukkah to look nice. So they wanted the grass to be a little greener than it was. So they spent some time before Sukkot every day, a week or two, watering the ground in order that when Sukkot came, the grass should be a little green.
What's the grass for?
That's just the place that the Sukkot was being built.
On it?
On the grass, yeah. They wanted it to be green, round, nice and green.
Round it.
They wanted it to be nice and green, so they watered the sukkah. You say round, also inside. In other words, there was no floor to the sukkah, so it was actually placed on the grass, straight on the grass. Yeah. Oh, so there's a number of shailas, and I want to begin with discussing one of them, one that came up. So every day they watered the grass. Came Erev Sukkot, and built the sukkah. I heard this year that if men had to clean for Pesach, and our wives had to build the sukkah, then we would both starve on Erev Pesach. But it's not that way. Men build the sukkah, so we start Erev Sukkot. Erev Sukkot, you put up the sukkah, spend the whole day. Just before Yom Tov, you get dressed for Yom Tov, go to shul. You come back and everybody was, say the least, tired, excited to do the mitzvah, to begin the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. Also probably excited to have something to eat. It was a busy day, wasn't much time. Come into the sukkah. I come in with everybody else, and I sit down on a chair, I'm tired from standing, and as I sit down, the chair sinks a little bit into the ground. And it's just all you expect the sun to constantly dry out whatever water you put on the grass, but I guess 2 weeks of water, the sun can't dry out in a day. The chair sunk into the ground. So I start thinking to myself, this is a bit of a problem. To dig a pit, inside a house would be a told of boina, outside would be a told of choresh, or plowing. You're not allowed to dig a little pit on Yom Tov. So, we have a problem over here. I wasn't looking to make a balagan. People wanted to start the soda. So, I'm looking for a way. I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's ain't a miskaven. I'm going to use, when I say the story, as I go through the story, I'm going to use a few halachic terms. Halachic expressions afterwards. I'll explain them in case they're not understood. But I just want to first say the story as it happened. So I think to myself, it's ain't a miskaven. It's not my intention. My intention is not to make the holes. So it's okay. But I got up, made kiddush, sat down again. Second time, once again, it sinks a little deeper. And I start thinking to myself, this is probably a psikresha. Psikresha means, even if it's not your intention, if it's for sure going to happen, we'll discuss shortly, then it's no good. Then it's a... I wasn't looking to make a mess, but in Chochma v'Neitzav, in Tzvunel v'Nei Hashem, if it's a problem, it's a problem. So I start mumbling, I think we have a problem over here, it's a little problem. So a discussion erupts around the table. Is it a psikresha? Is it not a psikresha? Is it for sure going to happen? Not for sure going to happen? Some people decided it was okay. Others, like myself, decided it probably wasn't. And made my poor mother-in-law bring out a roll of carpet that she had, a rug, roll it out on the dirty floor. And the rug we sat, it was a little bit of a mess. So I want to go through and discuss some of the halachic terms that were relevant over there and some other applications that they have to our week-to-week life. So we'll begin with the din of Eina Miskaven. Eina Miskaven means when I'm doing one thing, I'm doing something on Shabbos which is not a melacha, something which is permitted, and as a result of my action, a melacha is taking place, is happening. In the classical case of the Gemara, it's the halacha of Greira. Shimon says, Greira Odom Kisim Mitiv Safsol. You're allowed to schlep a chair, bench, or bed along the earth, along the grass. As long as you don't intend to make a groove. When you schlep a chair along the grass or along the earth, it might make a little pit, it might make a little groove. So Shimon says, it's Eina Miskaven, it's not your intention. Your intention is to bring the chair from point A to point B. On the way, a melacha happens, that's okay, it's Eina Miskaven, it's not your intention, and you're okay. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda says, Eina Miskaven is also osur. It's a price that brought in the Gemara and Be'ah. Rav Yehuda argues and says, Eina Miskaven is osur, that if you're doing one thing, which is permissible, and as a result, a melacha may happen, you've got to stay away. You've got to make sure a melacha doesn't happen as a result of your actions. So this is Machloikus, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, and the Gemara clearly paskins like Rav Shimon, or the Rishonim go with that, and that's the halacha, the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha we paskin like Rav Shimon, that Eina Miskaven is muta. If you're doing one thing, and something happens without your kavana, that is muta. And there's many things that we do on a weekly basis that are as a result of this halacha. Just to discuss a few examples, you first have the classical case of the Gemara. So we said, pull a bench along the grass. If it might make a groove, it's okay, that's not my intention. You scratch your hair on Shabbos. You scratch your hair on Shabbos, so it's possible that by doing so, you might pull out a hair. Klisha Seir would be an Isser. Some of us, yeah. Klisha Seir would be an Isser. To pull out a hair is forbidden on Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's okay, because that's not your intention. You're scratching your hair, which is something which is permissible. It may, a melacha may happen as a result, that's okay, that's Eina Miskaven, it's okay. You walk on the grass, you might pull out some blades of grass, same thing, it's okay. Even if you pull out a blade of grass, it's okay, that wasn't your intention, and that's okay, and so on and so forth. There's many things that we do in Shabbos, that because our intention is not to do a melacha does sometimes happen as a result, that's okay, that's not our intention, we paskin like Rav Shimon. Having paskin like Rav Yehuda, we'd have to stay clear of anything that might result in a melacha, but we paskin like Rav Shimon. So, that was the first thought sitting in this sukkah. My intention is not to make the grooves in the ground, although that's happening, but that's not my intention, I'm okay, I'm clear. But then came the problem that it's a psik ratio. Psik ratio, as the Gemara says a number of times, Abaye and Rava, Amrit Abayu, a number of places in Shas, both Abaye and Rava say together that Rav Shimon, who says Eina Miskaven is muta, he's moida, moida Rav Shimon psik ratio. If it's a psik ratio, if it's for sure going to happen, so then he's moida. In other words, if the melacha you're doing is for sure going to happen as a result of, the melacha that's being done is for sure going to result from the action I'm doing, then it is awesome. The term psik ratio literally means breaking off the head. See, people are familiar, but hopefully we'll learn some things as well on the way. Literally means breaking off the head. The Gemara is referring to a case that once upon a time, today we're spoiled with toys. Once upon a time, it seems their selection was a little more limited. So a common toy, it seems, was to give your child to play with the head of a chicken. I was told by a friend that somebody once demonstrated to him the way this toy works. Apparently, if you have the head of a chicken, I apologize if this is bothering somebody, if you have the head of a chicken and squeeze it, so it makes a little squeaky sound as the mouth opens. So it's just like today's little duckies or whatever the toys we play with, the little kids play with today, the head of the chicken apparently has the same function, does the same thing. So somebody wants to give his child the head of a chicken, and he has the head of a chicken, and he just has one problem, it's attached to the body. So he decides to detach the head from the body in order to give the head to the child to play with. So, according to Rav Shimon, one would think it's okay. Because my intention isn't to kill the chicken, although that will happen. That's not my intention. My intention is to give the head of the chicken to the child. As a result, the chicken will die. That's Einim Skavon. It's not my kavanah. It should be a cape. So about that, Abaye and Rav say, Moedir Rav Shimon Psik Reisha. Rav Shimon agrees that when you take off the head of the chicken, that is osur. And Psik Reisha becomes the coin, the term that we use to, as an example of anything which will certainly happen as a result of my action. So when I remove the head of the chicken, as a result, there will certainly be a malacha happening, so then it's also. So too every other case. So get back to the classical case of the Gemara, if you schlep a heavy bench or a sforim shafa along the earth, and it's certainly going to make a groove, over there you can't say, that's not my intention. If it's a psik reisha, if it's for sure going to happen, so it's also. The logic behind it is something along these lines. There's different halacha and achronim, but in simple words, it's something along these lines. The heter of Einim Eskaven is that's not my intention. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not doing the melacha. I'm doing an act which is mutter. The melacha is happening as a result. If it's for sure going to happen, you can't claim that that's not what you're doing. If it's for sure going to happen, then you know that, so then you are doing the melacha. You are doing the melacha. You're aware that's going to happen, so you can't say that's not my intention. Your intention is to do that as well as the act that you're doing. But either way, whatever the lomdus is, the din is that a psik reisha is also. So back to my story in the sukkah, so I'm thinking to myself that after sitting down a couple of times and noticing every time the chair sinks into the ground a little further, this is probably a psik reisha. The ground is very soft. Every time you sit on the chair, it's going to sink deeper. It's a psik reisha. It's for sure going to happen as a result of my sitting down. And therefore, the chayra is also.
But as long as you're not pulling the chair out, it's going to be.
So you're bringing out a very good point. That was part of what came up in the discussion in the sukkah, is perhaps when you sit down there's no issur at all, because you're not making a pit. As you make the pit is being filled with the legs of the chair. There's no pit. So it's not a pit. The pit is where you can put the seed in. If it's filled as you dig it with the legs of the chair, maybe that's not an issur chayrish. So there were some who tried to tie into that, and therefore as a result said the issur is taking the chair out. So you had those who believed that sitting on a chair wasn't the issa, rather pulling it out, and therefore they just left the chair in the place, and every time they, on Yom Tov, they just sat down and went a little deeper, by the end of Yom Tov they were sitting on the floor. Yeah. So to be honest, we're not going to be able to get to that part of the discussion, but it's clearly discussed in the poiskim, and Lemaisa, at least certain poiskim say clearly, Magen Avraham says clearly, that it would be an issa even while the chair is in the hole. Yeah, because there is a pit there, it's filled with a In the floor, in the earth, there's a pit. It's full with the leg of a chair, but there's a pit. Oh, that's right. I'm going to get to it. But just before, thank you. Somebody's bringing up Sigrej Lo Nichle, and you can imagine in the sukkah, that was part of the discussion that came up, some people scream Sigrej Lo Nichle, and I want to get to that in a moment. But just before that, I want to give just a couple more examples of Sigrej, of the case of Sigrej, from things we're familiar with. Another famous case, another classical case, is the light in the fridge. Opening a fridge is also a bit of a shaila, which we'll discuss, but many places are matir. However, if there's a light in the fridge, then we all know it's a problem. It's a problem to open the fridge when if a light goes on as a result. Again, what's the issue? It's Einim Eskaven. According to Rav Shimon, one would think that should be okay. It's Einim Eskaven. It's not my intention. However, it's a psik reisha. It's certainly going to happen. And therefore, that's the reason that opening the light in the fridge is also. But as people are bringing up, and was brought up around the table at the time, it's a psik reisha de lo nichle. It's a psik reisha de lo nichle. It's a psik reisha that's sure going to happen, but you're not interested in the result that happens, and as people thought, therefore that would therefore render it mutter. So I wanted to spend a couple of minutes discussing the halacha of psik reisha de lo nichle. It begins with Gemaras, but in the Rishonim, it begins with an oruch. The Oruch in the entry Barza, in the Erech Barza, the Oruch is made of entries where he explains words, and often he goes on and elaborates a little bit, and it says a little bit of halachas. So he has an entry called Barza, Berez. Berez, in modern Hebrew, is a tap, a faucet. So he's referring over there to a tap. So he's referring over there to, today our wine, we pour our wine for Kiddush, we pour it from a bottle. Once upon a time, today also the wine goes in a barrel, if it's a good wine, before it reaches the bottle. But the wine, by the time it reaches your house, unless you're lucky enough to make your own wine, by the time it reaches your house, it's in a bottle. Once upon a time, it seems people had the barrels in the house, and they would fill up their kiddush from the barrel, or from a jug, which would be filled from the barrel. So to open the whole barrel was a big deal, so you'd make a little hole in the bottom of the barrel to let out the wine. You have a hole, you obviously have to have some sort of stopper or something to fill in the hole. That was called the barza, or the beres. That stopper. Now today we'd probably make the stopper out of rubber like we do in a bathtub or something like that, but it seems once upon a time rubber wasn't discovered. So what they did was they would have this wooden stopper which they would then cover, they would then wrap it in material, a soft material, and this way they were able to stick it into the hole and it would fill the hole in its entirety and it wouldn't, the wine wouldn't flow out. Now, as you can imagine, the material became soaking wet. So the shaila arises, can you take the little stopper in and out on Shabbos? The problem is, as soon as you touch the stopper, certainly when you hold it, you're going to be squeezing a little bit of wine out, and you'll be over on the issa of Srita. Srita is when you, it's a tolda of Mepharik, if you squeeze a grape, that would be a tolda of Dosh, an issa with a raisa, and squeezing a tissue or a towel with liquid in would be the same issa. So, l'choiri, you have a problem over here. So true, Rav Shimon would tell you, and that's halacha, it's ainim miskaven, that's not your intention. Your intention is not to squeeze the wine out of the stopper, out of the material around the stopper. Rather, your intention is just to take out some wine, to open and close it. However, it's a sikresha. It's for sure that as soon as you touch the stopper, certainly when you pull it out, the wine is going to squeeze out, it's going to be an isra of shechita. So, Ashkof Roshoinos will be osa. Comes the Aruch and says, no, this is mutar lechatchila. You're able to do it on Shabbos. And the reason is, says the Aruch, because it's a psik resha de loy nichele. True, it's for sure going to happen, but it's loy nichele. Loy nichele, although it sounds like you specifically do not want the result, it's good enough that you're not interested in the result. If it's a psik resha, if the melacha is for sure going to happen, but you're not interested in the result, in the melacha that happens, says the Aruch, it's then mutar. And the logic is something like this. Ainim is covered, if it's not your intention, it's really mutter. If it's a psik reish, if it's a sure going to happen, so then that is your intention. But if it's loy nichele, you're not interested in the result, so once again, it's not your intention. Once again, it's not considered what you're doing. And therefore, it goes back to the original het of ainim is covered, according to the Aruch. Psik reish of loy nichele is mutter. That's the opinion of the Aruch. It's based on a number of Gemaras. I'll tell you one of the Gemaras. I'm going to adapt it a bit in order to simplify without going into all the ins and the outs of the Gemara. But as somebody pointed out, pouring water on grass is osur on Shabbos. You're making the grass grow, told of Zeria. And therefore, if you want to, let's say, we have the sukkah sitting on the grass, you want to wash your hands in the sukkah, so you take a drink, it's another problem. You might spill a little bit, which I don't want to get into. It's discussed in Shulchan Aruch as well. But if you want to wash your hands, for moitzi, you want to wash your hands after this doim, on the grass, so, l'choyer is a psikration. It's a psikration. In other words, you could say it's not my kavona to make the grass grow, but it's a psikration, it's a sure going to happen, and therefore would be awesome. Says the Gemara in a similar case that va'ara the chavre in the land of your friend in your neighbor's garden, so then you're okay because it's a psik reish, it's a sure gonna happen. But loy nichle, you're not interested in the result. In your own garden, you're interested that things should grow, but in your neighbor's garden, you have no interest that things should grow. It's a psik reish loy nichle, and therefore it's not a psik reish. And the Aruch learns pshat in the Gemara, it's therefore muta. And the Aruch has many examples, many rayas from different Gemaras and different. So that's the din of psik reish loy nichele. And back to our case of the sukkah, that's what people told me. What do you mean? It's a psik reish loy nichele. Sitting in, true, we're making holes in the ground, but nobody wants the holes in the ground, nobody wants the holes in the sukkah, and therefore it should be mutter. Happened to have recently before that learned a little bit about the sugya of psik reish loy nichele. So I knew to answer that this is a. This heter of the Aruch is actually Machloikus Rishonim. Tosfos argues with the Aruch, and the Rosh argues with the Aruch. And they say that Psik Reish Loy Nichele isn't Mutter. It just turns it from an Issa D'Oraisa to an Issa D'Rabbanan. The logic is like this, that when it's a Psik Reish Loy Nichele, it's not that it goes back to Einam Eskaven. It's not that it's not my intention. If it's for sure going to happen, that's your intention. You're not interested, so that's like a melacha she'en etzricha l'gufa. I don't have time to go into it in detail, but a melacha she'en etzricha l'gufa in short means if you do a melacha without the intention, without the same intention as they had in the Mishkan, then it's only an issa d'rabbanan. So if you have a psik reish d'loy nichele, if you're not interested in the result, so if you're not interested in any result, you certainly don't have the right intentions, and therefore it turns it into an issa d'rabbanan. Putting the lomdas aside, the nekuda is that the Aruch holds a psik reish d'loy nichele is mutter. And we have a Tosfos and the Rosh holds a psik reish loy nichele is osur mid rabbanon. And although in Shulchan Aruch we bring the Shittas Aruch, we bring the opinion of the Aruch, which is Mekel, and we use it as a tzad, as a together with other tzadim lehokel, when there's other reasons to be Mekel, we use the opinion of the Aruch as an extra, an additional reason to be Mekel, but alone we do not pass like the Aruch. In other words, the simple and straightforward halacha is Psik Reisha de Lo Nichele is an Issa de Rabbonon. We bump into Psik Reisha de Lo Nichele very often. One of the most well-known shailas that Psik Reisha de Lo Nichele is Negea is when you're walking down the street and some people have in the house a sensor, the light goes on as you pass the house. According to the Aruch, this wouldn't be a shaila. According to the Aruch, it's okay. Because it's Psik Reisha, it's sure going to happen, but you're not interested in the light going on, assuming you're not interested. And therefore, it would be Mutter. The problem is, and the reason that this isn't so straightforward, is because the Aruch and Shulchan Aruch is not like the Aruch. We pass in Psik Reisha, Lo Nichele is Osro Midrabonon. So back to our story in the Sukkah, sitting down on the ground, true it's a Psik Reisha, Lo Nichele, but that would only turn it into from an Issa D'Oraisa into an Issa D'Rabbanan. Yeah.
Maybe the case of the fridge before, you said the light goes on. Really, you do want the light to come. Just because it shuts, you don't. But normally, you want it to come on. So it's not quite.
That's right. The case of the fridge would probably not be a Psik Reisha D'Lo Nichele, a Psik Reisha Nichele. I did see, for example, Shlomo Zalman discusses if by accident you've left the light on and he's trying to work out a way, but there's no other option, there's no other food, etc. You want to be matter such a situation. So amongst the things he tells you to do is close your eyes when you open the fridge, in order that the light shouldn't help you and it should turn it into a Psik Reisha de Lo Nichele, which, as we said, it doesn't turn it into the straight out heter, but at least it minimizes the issa.
You get the wrong food.
Ah? Yeah, you get the wrong food, right?
I'm sure you buy the
You get what you're given. Yeah. Now, the truth is, I'll just point out that this what I'm saying, Psik Reisha de Lo Nichele is an issa. Many poskim, certainly the recent Achronim who struggle in many cases, say that if what we're discussing is an Issa D'Rabbanon, so then you can be Mekel by Psik Reisha Lo Nichele. Essentially, although the Tosfos argues with the Aruch and says Psik Reisha Lo Nichele stays in Issa, and he goes through all the Gemaras of the Aruch that the Aruch proves it's Mutter, and says, all the Gemaras of the Aruch, and says, okay, the Gemara doesn't mean it's Mutter, it just means it's not an Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanon. There's one Gemara he's stuck with, it's actually connected to Sukkos, about a Hadas, there's a Gemara he's stuck with, and he says, okay, I'm going to have to give in. If it's an Issa D'Rabbanon, a Psik Reisha D'Lo Nichele is okay. And as a result, many poskim say when it comes to an Issa D'Rabbanon, a Psik Reisha D'Lo Nichele is okay. And that's one of the major tzadim lehatir, opening a fridge without a light.
Even if there aren't any other factors.
Even without any other factors, right. Opening a refrigerator without a light, which is also a shaila, because when you open the refrigerator, there's a thermostat inside, you're allowing hot air to go in, the air outside the fridge is hotter than the air inside the fridge, you're allowing hot air to go in, and it's causing the fridge to warm up, and the motor, you're causing the motor to be activated. So, it's a shaila. And some people are machmir, make sure to have the time switches, or turn off the thermostat, etc. There's different rumors. However, many people are mekel, and we rely, Be'ikr, the main poysek who was matir, is Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he has a number of stodim to be made to be matir, but one of them is this svara that it's a psik reisha d'lo nichele. The fact that the motor is going on, I'm sorry, the fact that the hot air is going in at least is lo nichele. You're not interested. So it's true what you're doing is a psik reisha. It's certain that you're going to cause the hot air to go in, but lo nichele, you're not interested in that happening. And the issa that's being caused is only midrabbanon, because Rav Shlomo Zalman holds, as most poskim hold, that electricity, when we're not discussing a light, when there's no shaila of havara of eish, other electrical appliances are only an Issa D'Rabbanon. Obviously, exactly what the Issa is would be a shiur for another time, yeah. So there are poskim that has an issue called boinet, but Rav Shlomo Zalman argues, and as do many other poskim, I think the consensus is that it's an Issa D'Rabbanon. Electricity where there's no shine of light. There are those who are choshish for an deraisa. Rav Shlomo Zalman certainly knows it's Rabbanon, and he therefore says that opening the fridge is a psik reisha to lo nichele by a Rabbanon, and therefore you could be mekel. But in our story, where lechoira it was a psik reisha lo nichele by a deraisa sitting in the sukkah making the holes, there is no way out. As I said, there's another side to the shaila of is this an isra choirish, which we don't have time to go into. But I just want to point out that there's a prima godim which has a very similar shaila to our Shaila, and he says that maybe you can be Mekel. Let me just say what it is. In Sima Shana Aleph, where he's discussing Dinei Hitzor, and he's discussing walking out in the streets with a stick, a cane, a walking stick. So over there it's discussing halachas of a tzor. Says it's mutter. So comes, I think the Morgan of Rome, I believe, discusses it, and that's what the Prima Golden discusses. What about if you have, it seems that's the way it was sometimes, maybe it's still like that, you have a little nail at the bottom of the stick, and every time you put the stick down, you make a little hole in the ground. Would you really be allowed to do that, or would this consist an isser of chayrish, of plowing, making a hole? So the Prima Golden brings up that it's a psik resha, and true loin ichale, true it's not your intention, however, that's also asr. Situation in Nichle is also asr. And he says that perhaps with a number of things together over here we could be makel. Besides being a situation in Nichle, it's also mekalkel. Midaraisa, in order to be chayev in a Torah, it's only if the thing you're doing is metaken. You're achieving something positive. What you're doing is mekalkel, it's destroying. So then once again, that takes it off from a deraisa to a drabonah. Besides that, it's kalacha yad. The normal way of digging a hole is not with a walking stick, and if I may add, it's also not with the legs of a chair. And therefore, the way you're doing it would be considered kalacha yad, or shinui, a strange way, which again would take it out of its isdaraisa and rabbonon. So he says, perhaps with these three things together, both it's a psik reish lele nichele, and it's kalacha yad, and it is mekalkel, maybe we could be mekel. On the other hand, it's tzorach iyum, because at the end of the day, the classical case in the Gemara of schlepping the bench is also kalach hayad. It's also not the normal way. And in many cases, it can also be mekalkel. You're also destroying, and the Gemara says when it's psik reisha, it's osur. So it's im belav rafi biyodei. He doesn't seem to have a clear hachra. There is room, in other words. There is what to rely on to be mekel. There's certainly reason to be machmir.
So you probably like a good reading and finish off with what we do now, then.
You'll have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. There are different opinions, but I'm just pointing out that at first glance, it's an issue because although it's a psikrational inichale, it still stays an isser. If it's a fluorescent light and therefore it turns it into a drabonon, so there's more reason to be makel. The other place can be makel for other reasons, simply because it's totally not your intention, it's not what you're planning to do at all. It's
Usually it's lighting up the front garden of the neighbour. Seriously, which is like watering the grass. You
know? Right, so that's what turns it into loy nichele. But that still stays the issur of rabbonim.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. Which order would it be?